Hi, this is Nathan W. Bingham, host of Renewing Your Mind, and I want to invite you to join us in Orlando for our Ligonier National Conference. Beginning May 23rd, Christians from around the world will gather to hear biblical teaching and enjoy fellowship together. This year's theme is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Over 3 days, we'll focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. To learn more and register, visit ligonier.org/2024.
Well, after Augustine's conversion, he resigned his post as teacher of rhetoric in Milan, and he left for several months to a villa in the area of Lake Como, right at the foot of the Alps. You should look it up. It's a beautiful place. And here, Augustine is going to write his first books as a Christian. He was writing books since 380. All of those early books, his pre-conversion books, are lost to us. But now, in 386, he began a whole new writing career. First, a quick word on his writing. He would dictate to a note-taker who used a system of note-taking called Tyronian Notes. This was named for Tullius Tiro. He was the scribe for Cicero, and these Tyronian or shorthand notes would then be written out into longhand, and they would be edited, and they would become a book. There were not commercial publishers in those days, but there were networks of scribes and networks of scholars and friends, and you would make a few copies of a book, and you would distribute it to these associates, to these friends, and they would make more copies, and then from those copies would come even more copies. And it was just a case of supply and demand. And there was a great demand for books from Augustine, and there was a steady supply. But what were these first books that Augustine wrote as a Christian? What were they all about? We called them dialogues. They were recorded conversations that he was having with himself there at this beautiful place in Lake Como. He would personify this dialogue with reason. And so it was Augustine and reason having these dialogues. Of course, he was drawing on this genre of the dialogue from that great Greek philosopher, Plato. And these dialogues covered such topics as truth and the immortality of the soul and on happiness. And in them, we see the themes that will come to dominate Augustine's teaching. He was, after all, a teacher. And so he taught, first of all, the nobility, the value for the pursuit of truth. Let's not be satisfied with lies and falsehood and mere shadows, but let's pursue and pursue it relentlessly, the truth. Secondly, he helped us understand the relationship between faith and reason. Too often, reason is jettisoned. We think that it is a combatant of faith. Well, not so, argued Augustine. God created us with a mind. He created this world as a rational world, and God wants us to use our reason to know him. And so faith and reason, and Augustine had a wonderful way of talking about the relationship of those two. And then finally, Augustine taught us that everything begins and ends in God. This world, our very lives, all of our efforts, human history, truth, wisdom, happiness, all of this is found in God. He is the beginning. He arches over every moment and aspect, and God is the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In fact, in one of these early dialogues, this is what Augustine tells us. O God, the truth, in, by, and through whom all truths are true. O God, the wisdom, in, by, and through whom all are wise who are wise. The true and perfect life, in, by, and through whom all live who are truly and perfectly alive in you. God, the beatitude, that is to say, God, happiness, in, by, and through whom all are blessed and are blessed. The good and the beautiful, in, by, and through whom all good and beautiful things have these qualities. God is the beginning, God is the end, and God is all in all. That is what Augustine taught us. And I'm Steve Nichols, and thanks for listening to 5 Minutes in Church History. We have time to end with a quote here from Archibald Alexander Hodge on the purpose of theology. He writes, "All theological knowledge has a practical end. The theological sciences, instead of being absolute ends in themselves, find their noblest purpose and effect in the advancement of personal holiness, the more efficient service of our fellow men, and the greater glory of God."